All right, folks, welcome back. This is Yankees Unloaded. We're doing another live stream because, let's be honest, Gary, let's just be entirely transparent. We're doing a live stream because let's just call it like it is. Tomorrow, the game starts at 1:35. This is going to turn to mush as soon as the game starts, so we want to give this as much exposure as possible. There, I said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, and we also like streaming. We like the chat.
Yes.
So let's be honest. I mean, we like to engage. We feel like a lot of shows don't necessarily do that. They do their own thing. And our strength, in my opinion, is making people a part of the show. So yeah. And it's much easier to do that when the Yankees win. So
no, absolutely. I 100% agree. Well, Gary, how about today? First off, I had to like rewatch the game because I couldn't watch the game during the time it was going. The mm-hmm. Yes app was down. I don't know. They had like an outage. So I had to rewatch it after the fact. And man, I have to say, we really nailed it. It was a night ago. We were talking about, this is a team that will score five runs, and if they have to score more than that, they're almost incapable of doing it. Once again, they hit five, and they're like, all right, we're done scoring the rest of the day.
Yeah, the third inning, they scored five, and we just did nothing.
I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's just paying homage to Joe DiMaggio, but either way, scoring five runs a game, you can get away with it when your pitching is this good, but for how long is the question? Because, we talk about the slumps all the time with the offense, but we don't talk about the fact that there's going to be slumps pitching-wise. These guys have their worst games ahead of them. I mean, you can't expect Clark Schmidt to continue this level of play. I know he gave up three runs, and some people were upset about that, but I mean, the bottom line is if he pitches five innings and strikes out seven batters and only gives up four hits, you'll take three runs all day. So I totally agree, DV. The team is a little annoying when it comes to driving in runs. They are. They leave a lot of guys on base. They ground into a lot of double plays. It's tough right now. But, hey, they won the game. They're 22-13 on the year, 10-5 at home. And you and I kind of both have talked about postseason. While that's the goal, if they weren't a postseason team, we wouldn't be talking about it. So they are definitely a postseason team. And I think, I know it's early, but I think it's pretty obvious unless somebody emerges out of the blue, it's going to be the Yankees and it's going to be the Orioles from the AL East. Just watching the Orioles, they're probably the better team right now. But the Yankees are still a really good team. And despite the fact they're not hitting well, Gary, they're pitching extremely well. One of the best in the league. So,
yeah, I guess we can give them some credit because today they were 3-for-9 with runners in scoring position. So that's 333. Pretty serviceable overall. We're not necessarily happy that you end up with five runs in the third inning and you don't scratch another run, because you'd assume that after Casey Mize goes out and gives up nine hits and five earned, that you're not necessarily going to be seeing Detroit's best arms. And we didn't. We saw Holton and Vest today. Their ERAs were north of five coming into today's game. Those are the type of arms that you want to pile it on. We didn't do that. And that's unfortunate. You saw Schmidt today did not have a sinker. They call it a two seam on the broadcast. He didn't have it today. He went to that cutter. I thought that was a really good adjustment by him. He doesn't make that adjustment. It's a light show. Last year's Clark Schmidt would have given up six runs today. He would have been blown apart because he didn't necessarily have his stuff. We've seen guys like Garrett Cole come into starts. They don't have their stuff. They go to the knuckle curve. They go to the cutter. They go to the straight changeup. I love the adjustment he made. Him striking out seven guys without his best pitch is saying something. So we're seeing some adjustments on the fly from these arms, not just high performance and really good coaching. So I had to say that. And then today's offensive output, I felt like was enough. They did what they had to do. Judge was Aaron Judge today. It was what we hoped to see. Of course, he got ejected, which was atrocious.
All right, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we have to talk about, and I believe that was his first ejection ever.
It was. So, it's the first Yankee captain to be ejected since Don Mattingly in 1994.
Yeah, and it, of course, I'm not on the field, so I don't know what's said. I personally, I don't imagine like Aaron Judge
like that
has anything in his vocabulary that can get him ejected from a game. I've just never heard Aaron
Judge. He's always been an umpire apologist, Gary. And that's the thing. Like, he's always been the guy where the media immediately is trying to create a narrative. Shocking, I know. They're trying to create a narrative, and Aaron Judge will be like, whoa. It's a tough job, and you know, I can't really say. I mean, I thought it was a ball, but he thought it was a strike, and even he was like surprised. He was like, yeah, but even still, Judge was Judge, right? Classy, upset, but classy. And when you listen to him, the way he's talking about the umpire, he's like, we disagreed with the call. His job is tough, and he's like, I try to understand from their perspective. I'm like, I mean, that kind of goes to show you, I don't think he lost his cool. I think whatever he said was entirely justified, and I think this umpire was soft as Charmin. And, you know, the problem is, we talk about in the first inning with Aaron Boone not that long ago, and that was ridiculous. To throw a player out, you're really impacting the game now. It's a 5-3 ball game, and you're throwing him out in the seventh inning. That could have come back to hurt the Yankees. So I'm not okay with that. And I do think MLB needs to take action because this is insane. I mean, the umpire union is becoming a cult. Do whatever they want, when they want. They have unlimited power. They can change the game. And I already went this route with the Boone stuff, Gary, but with betting and everything, you don't want people questioning the integrity of your game. And people are going to start to do that. And I definitely could see a scenario where people are like, man, they're throwing out a guy who, okay, this year, yeah, he has a 209 batting average, but this is Aaron freaking Judge. When he is on, he is the best player in baseball. I don't really think it's,
What's he done, though, as a commissioner and Rob Manfred to...
He's done nothing.
To infiltrate... Making the conversation about the players. I've yet to see it. I get that baseball's made some positive adjustments. I'm sure people in the chat have seen and can name some of those positive adjustments. Maybe some people would argue they like seeing the pitch clock, whatever. But no one's done anything about the umpires, and it seems like Major League Baseball is just interested in moving on from the conversation. It seems like baseball knows.
They don't want you to talk about it.
No, it's not. It just doesn't seem like it. So if there's not a conversation, and I feel like at some point or another, a conversation would have been had already that was public to us. We would have seen it. We would have seen Manfred said, you know, the issue right now is that Major League Baseball's umpires, they seemingly have a chip on their shoulder. They feel like they're changing games. It's personal. Yes,
it feels that way.
There's a lot of guys that are doing a good job, but ultimately, when Aaron Judge is played however many thousands of baseball games he's played and he's been ejected out of zero games and he shows up today and what he said, he barely even raised his voice. I could barely tell he was ejected. I could hear on the broadcast that he's ejected. Tell me what was said. Cause I want to know. I really don't understand. And obviously we see in the chat, umps are God. Yeah. They have a God complex. Show it to me. Show me. Major League Baseball's umpires being held accountable a single time. They tell us in Major League Baseball, oh, yeah, we don't give assignments in the postseason for people who don't grade well. When did I give a rat's ass about assignments in October? I already know we're getting the best umpires in October. That's always been the case. Before the grading ever came out, we always hired the best umpires. The problem is that we watch 162 games of regular season baseball, and it doesn't seemingly matter who's umpiring these games. It seems like we see in the chat, these guys have a God complex, and they can just on a whim on some random Tuesday decide, yeah, today's about me. Today I'm just not feeling it. I'm on the wrong side of the bed. Now you deal with me. And so that's where my frustration comes in. I like the adjustments that the Yankees made today. The zone was pretty bad for both sides. Detroit was really unhappy with the strike zone they had. And unfortunately, they didn't get a chance to make their adjustments in time to affect this game because we got them early. And I felt like that was the best thing that could have happened for this offense is to score early and then let the umpire decide the rest of the game, I guess.
Yeah, I love what Anthony Rizzo said after the game. Umpire being a little sensitive there. I'm sure he's going to say he's right because they're always right. I mean, there's a little frustration in that tone. Rizzo, again, really classy guy, was going to bat for Judge, basically saying he's a very classy guy. So this is, and, you know, my feeling is that, you know, you lose the fans. Not all the fans are going to leave because of the umpires, but you start losing the players and the players start, you know, reacting negatively. And now they're talking about it and changes are going to be made. And I think we need more Anthony Rizzos out there, not being afraid to, at the end of post games, be like, yeah, they always feel like they're right, or they're always right, or something, like, you know, a little jab in there. Because if you have 100 of those sound bites that 162 game season, that's how you make change. You want to make it so it's literally just forced in the face of the MLB to be like, all right, we got to make a change, guys. This is ridiculous. You got to do better. Yeah,
but that change isn't going to be accountability, in my opinion. You may think differently. People in the chat may think individually. They might think something else is going to happen. But my opinion is this: Major League Baseball has no authority over these umpires. They're unionized. They essentially are completely protected. The same way you go to the airport and you see those TSA agents acting like they're Jesus Christ. Well, they have that complex because they're protected. The reason that's happening is because of their job security that is over their boss's head. They cannot be fired, guys. They have to literally break the law to lose their job. I don't know if people realize that. The law has to be broken by a TSA agent to lose his job. The same thing goes for an umpire. Major League Baseball umpires can do as bad of a job as you could ever see. You see it with Angel Hernandez. We see it with CB Buckner, whatever the hell his name is. We see it all the time. They've done nothing on the field to warrant being out there again. And people keep talking about fines, and which, by the way, I see it in the chat. Like, I get it. We want fines. We want accountability. I'm all in agreement there. But we're way past that now. It seems like baseball is just saying, these are what we got. We kind of hope that they don't affect today's game. And the next stage is robots. It seems that minor league baseball has already kind of got their automated strike zone and got that all dialed in. The next step is when, just a matter of when that comes into Major League Baseball.
And how much is that affecting a young player? So you're telling me you're downgrading in quality, you're downgrading in, you know, your strike zone, essentially. I don't love that. But one thing I'll say, Gary, is that, you know, unions are powerful, no doubt about it. I mean, they're like cults, essentially. But here's the deal. The MLB could get involved here. They could change rules. And I personally, the way the NFL does with the officiating, you can throw a guy out if he hits you, if he makes contact with you. This has been overplayed. A guy falls into you or is pushed into you, and then you throw him out of the game. That's ridiculous. It doesn't happen often, though. And the NFL, it's like, you don't get tossed for saying a bad word. You don't get tossed for offending a referee. You get tossed when you either hit a referee, you make physical contact, or you get two personal foul penalties, which at that point they're saying you're playing too out of control and you're affecting the safety of the game, which, fine, right? Mm-hmm. Baseball is the only one where you can get ejected just like that. It's all subjective, because the NBA, you have to get, what, however many technicals, I think it's two technicals, and you get kicked out. They can't just eject a coach for having an issue. I mean, they don't.
So you're making the argument that the only way that you should be able to get ejected from a baseball game is if you're taking physical action upon another player.
Absolutely. Why do they have so much power? Why do they have so much power? I don't understand that. Nothing about an umpire makes them more powerful than an NFL official, an NBA ref, or an NHL official. I mean,
yeah, the NBA is not good either. And by the way, we have it in the chat from Ronnie. He said, Aaron Judge said, that's bullshit. You've been bullshit all day.
He's okay. Right.
Can you imagine?
Imagine Bill Belichick getting a grown man. I'm looking at the picture of this guy. If you're like 60 and you're actually, you can't take that without like taking aggressive maneuvers and kicking a guy out of the game, a guy that at Yankee Stadium, most of Yankee fans are going to, they're paying to see guys like that hit. No, you're way too invested. I don't care about your job. You don't need to be fired. The rule needs to change. Okay, it needs to be way more stern. You can't just toss a guy and eject a guy out of the game just because you're having a bad day. Harden up, because everybody is just so soft nowadays with these umpires, and they're affecting the game. And again, you know, the Yankees win, but if the Yankees didn't win this game, they're 5-3, and Trent Grisham is now at the plate to win the game instead of Aaron Judge, this is going to get a lot more publicity than what we're giving it. So I think it's definitely a conversation. You can't make changes in the middle of the season like, you know, you're doing your fantasy league with your two buddies from high school. It doesn't work that way. But the MLB can make changes in the offseason, and it needs to. It needs to get rid of – because here's the thing. It's always been an issue, but it wasn't as big of an issue, Gary. It didn't feel like guys were getting ejected for breathing, but now it's starting to become an issue. Now you have to take action, MLB, and if you don't, then you're just as bad as your really bad, officials. And right. I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, so the action is not fines. The action is also not telling the umpires, hey, if your butt hurt, stop ejecting our guys. That can't happen. Just take their ability to do that away. Strip it.
Yeah. Why do
I don't have- I don't want them to have the authority. I don't care if this guy's the best umpire that you could ever grade. I don't want that guy to have the authority to feel like someone should be out of the game. Because
you should be kicked out of the game for fighting. You should be kicked out of the game for non-subjective things. In my opinion, I don't think you should be kicked out of the game for hitting somebody, because if you've never pitched before, you're not aware. I've lost total control of my fastball before, just for whatever reason. I could not find the strike zone one day, and it looked like I was purposely trying to drill the batter, and I was not trying to do that. And so for people that have never played the sport before, if they're just behind the plate and they've never pitched, then they look at it as like, oh, he's targeting him. But it's like, I had no motive, right?
No, I get that. So this is where I'll kind of protect Major League Baseball here in the umpires, kind of. I get having the subjectiveness in there for the umpires to protect players. I get that sometimes you're going to say, okay, it's an 0-2 count. It's the 0-2 count, first pitch of the World Series. Aaron Judge gets hit in the head with a pitch. Clearly, there's no intent there. But an umpire can say, okay, there shouldn't be any intent there. He's going to stay in the game. But there are situations where subjectively umpires can make decisions that can positively impact player safety. And there's been situations where players very obviously were hit on purpose. And I feel like we've all seen that in this game. And I still want that to be protected. I think the players would also want that available. But I'll say this. I don't want that call coming from the umpires on the field. I want that coming from like a team, like a whole jury. Okay.
They have
people
that.
Needed to decide it somewhere else. Yeah. I don't want some dude who's just like, oh, the emotions of the game, I can feel it on the field, and I can just tell it was on purpose. No, we got to get rid of that.
You know how they're always like, oh, we'll go to New York for this. Okay. Well, why aren't you using New York? You know what I mean? Like, why is it always up to the discretion of the umpire, who's just obviously emotional? I mean, that's my thing. I want that out of the game. You can say, oh, well, I'm a baseball purist and it's been around forever. Yeah, but here's the deal, right? Things change. I mean, things were legal in the United States and now they're not anymore because times change. You have to adapt. And I don't feel like baseball's adapted well in the umpire realm. Now, we talked about bigger bases, pitch clock, even the extra innings. I don't love giving essentially a run to a guy that didn't earn his spot on base, but the ghost runner to help, ease the game, make it a little bit easier to digest for some casual fans that are trying to get into it. I get that, but why is it that they just do not want to touch? Because we always talk about, oh, well, umpires are protected because they have their union. Well, that's great and all, but if you change the rules, then they're not protected.
Thank you, Jake. They're in the chat. We need oversight. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking for is put a new rule in where allow these umpires to do exactly what they're doing. They're going to go out. Some are going to be dog shit. Some are going to be amazing. And then you watch something happen on the field and you say, that was just atrocious. Clearly he's in his feelings. And somebody else can say he's in his feelings, override. No, thank you. We don't need it. We don't need that. And that's what's happening in the minor leagues. I know it sounds ridiculous coming from me. I'm saying it in a joking manner. No, in minor league baseball, they'll just be like, that's a strike. Somebody on, they'll just sit there and tap their helmet, and then somebody else will go, it wasn't. 1-0. That's the way baseball needs to be called, because right now, you said it earlier, the integrity of the game, we want to make sure the conversation is about the players. We want to make sure when Aaron Judge goes 2-for-4, because Aaron Judge, frankly, has done absolutely jack squat in weeks. He goes 2-for-4 today, right? He drives in a run. Like, yeah, he punched out two times, but his batting average has creeped to .210. We're starting to see signs of Aaron Judge. We want the conversation on him. We don't want the conversation on umpires. And I get it. Most other fan bases outside of Yankees podcasters, they're going to talk about the umpires when they lose. That's when they're going to talk about umpires, because they're going to make excuses for why, like, everything transpired the way it did on the field. And they want to basically justify why they have the best team in Major League Baseball. This podcast doesn't do that. We have talked about umpires in 3 wins this year. We've done it. Okay. And today, exactly. If you told me that the Yankees were going to score 5 runs, I probably would have anticipated we would have spent 90% of the show talking about the offense. And I didn't. I talked about Clark Schmidt not having a sinker, but he made great adjustments. And then we talked 90% about Major League Baseball umpires. So it just kind of goes to show how the conversation could be dominated by someone's feelings.
Yeah, it's a bummer because, you know, again, it's these guys that they almost have this main character syndrome. Like, you're not the main character. Like, no one turns on Lord of the Rings and is like, oh yeah, you know, the dragon is the best character in the, like, you know what I mean? Like Smaug, like, you know, the Hobbit, or like no one is turning on like Iron Man and is looking at the first, you know, his assistant is like, oh yeah, that guy. Now that Iron Man's cool, but we got that guy. You know, no one is turning on, well, I'll make a mention, Dragon Ball Z, and like, yeah, you know who's a really good main character? Krillin. Like, no one is doing that. So that's the umpire. The umpire is always like, yeah, we're going to get in the way. We want to make it about us. Not all of them, but a decent amount of them. You know, everyone's watching Batman, The Dark Knight for Joker and Batman. They're not watching it for, you know, Commissioner Gordon. I hate to break it to you. And that's the umpire. Is that, you know, we're going to the Yankee Stadium to watch Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Giancarlo Stanton, and right now Anthony Rizzo, who's one of the hottest hitters, it seems like right now, hit home runs and mash the ball, and you're kicking
263. Good lord,
you're kicking one of them out of the game because you're soft as hell. Miss me with that all day, like, and yeah, I'm so over it. But, you know, we'll talk about the game a little bit more because obviously Anthony Rizzo deserves a lot of credit. He was He was the hero yesterday with Stanton, to be fair. Stanton, I got to start off with Stanton first because the first run score of the game was a base knock by Stanton hitting the opposite way. I know people get in love with like the way he pulls the ball because he wasn't doing that a lot last year. Let's not take away from the art of hitting to the opposite field, especially a guy like that. So I love that. And then Rizzo, man, you said 263. He is a lot of fun to watch right now at the dish. And you know what's funny is that he's got the most nonchalant, like, in my opinion, batting stance.
Who, where Rizzo?
Yeah, he freaking chokes up on the bat.
He looks like his blood sugar's low. He's like back to ready to drop his bat. I'm like, dude, which obviously he is.
And then he turns those hips, fires, and boom, he hits it 110 miles an hour off the bat. And you're like, oh, that thing's like long gone. And it's funny, even Michael Kay was like, it's a long home run. Like, yeah, because it's like, that's just been Rizzo. So.
You know what they brought up on the broadcast, though, about Rizzo that I thought was interesting, and I felt like it should have been brought up on our show, was that Rizzo, when he's struggling, becomes very rotational. They talked about it briefly, but when you do watch Rizzo and he is struggling, he's pulling a lot of foul balls. You'll see him go 0 for 20, and then his 21st at bat, he'll like pull a home run down the right field line, and it feels like he can just never keep the ball fair. But when he's right and he's working through the center of the field, he keeps everything fair, and he just becomes this player who can go the other way. He can spoil. He can spoil an 0-2 pitch and just slap a ball the other way, and he can do damage to right field. Obviously, when he's right, he's the perfect player for the Yankees. He's exactly what they needed. People forget when he came over from Chicago, his fit was obvious when he got here. He was like one of the only dudes who had a level swing who was actually trying to have an at-bat. And once he got healthy this year, I didn't necessarily have these lofty expectations because we didn't know what we were getting after the concussion and all the time off. But frankly, maybe you can argue his glove has regressed slightly, but it's kind of come closer to the mean. And his offense has just been amazing. And to, when you see him that far down the lineup, hopefully the top of the lineup, guys like Anthony Volpe can get back going. Juan Soto will be Juan Soto. And then you saw Aaron Judge today. If those guys at the top of the lineup are hitting, Rizzo slotted down there is a weapon. We will score. So I'm not necessarily worried about this offense. I just know that when you go up there and we look at our record, I'm not going to give anybody a pass when you've been sleepwalking through the first 30 games of the year. They have. And when I do see guys like Gleyber Torres heating up, because like you said before, it's May. Dude just comes ready to play. And Rizzo starts heating up in May as well. So we have a lot to look forward to. Trevino is hitting over 280 right now. We're going to talk about some guys in the back end of that bullpen like Clay Holmes. Those guys have essentially been our strength. Our starting pitching, our bullpen have been our strength. And now guys at the bottom of the order are heating up. And frankly, if they're doing any damage at all, we've got as good of a chance as anybody to keep up with Baltimore.
I agree. And, you know, I think all over this lineup, it is dangerous. What we're not talking about, and I do want to make mention of it, instead of being negative here and bringing up Oswaldo Cabrera, who is hitting 239, we're going to be positive here and go in the direction of talking about Jose Trevino, who's now hitting 281. And I mean, he's looked good at the plate even today. You know, I know he only had one hit out of, you know, three at bats, but I was impressed with what I saw from him. I've been impressed with what I've seen from him, and we were on him, but you know, it's just a reminder of what this show really is. I mean, we don't play favorites here. Aaron Judge is one of my all-time favorite athletes, regardless of baseball, okay? And I've been critical of him. I know you love Aaron Judge. You've been critical of him. Guess what? When you bat 209 and when you hit 209, people are starting to say, wow, he's turning it around. That's not good. And it doesn't matter who it is. Like, you have to hold them accountable. Juan Soto unequivocally has been the best player on the Yankees by a country mile.
Oh yeah, that's not close.
It's you know, he's leading the team in batting average, home runs, and RBIs. Okay, so he's been the best. Rizzo is starting to creep into that second best territory. Yeah, I would probably say Rizzo has been the second best player, which is bizarre to even say. I think at this point,
I don't even know who I think the second best player was. Offensively?
Yeah, I mean, well, think about it, right? So Rizzo never like had it like an explosion of offense like a Volpe or Oswaldo, but right. He's been consistent. I mean, we got on him at one point, but I mean, Rizzo is fourth in hits, right? Or sorry, fourth in runs. He is second in hits. Okay. He has he's second in home runs, tied for second with Judge and Stanton. He is tied. He's second in RBIs, right? He's second in total bases. The bizarre thing is he's not really high in walks. He only has 9 this year, so he's taken kind of a different approach. But you know, as far as batting average goes, he's fourth.
Verdugo's got a case as well. I don't think people remember, but
Verdugo does. But
he was ice cold to start the year. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. So for him to be hitting 270 right now is saying a lot. Like, he's kind of on his little Trevino run right now. And Dan, if would I have expected our starting pitching would have been one of our strengths without Cole? Hell no. No. Did I expect to get more than what maybe others expected? Because we didn't go get that arm. We've talked about it before. We have not, like, at no point were we like, we're short personnel wise. We've got to go get our guy. Because a lot of people were looking at Blake Snell as an arm that was a must have. Maybe yeah. Some other arms, the Yamamoto must haves, because
first there was episode a question
mark with Rodon. Yeah, there was a huge question mark with Carlos Rodon. We might have predicted him to rebound, but let's be clear, nobody had answers when it came to who was going to be the two. We didn't know who it would be. And having said that, we just trusted in Matt Blake, and we don't really know why it works. He figures it out. They get reclamation project after reclamation project. And yes, we can get upset about diving in the dumpster for a reliever. Maybe Pittsburgh doesn't want him. A Cincinnati doesn't want him. The Yankees find ways to get something out of seemingly nothing. Would I have expected Michael Tonkin to throw two scoreless the other day? No.
That was pretty good.
It's pretty good, but no one would expect that to happen. The only reason it does is because of our staff. And part of that is going to work to our strength, but you have to hope that we have the big time arms and the names pedigree wise to get us through October. We haven't gotten through October since I was in ninth grade. I'm 31 this November. So let's be clear. The Yankees have to score. That's the priority. But of course, you can't win unless you pitch in October. And based on what I'm looking at, the Yankees should be pretty hopeful and pretty excited about what they're getting, because the best pitcher in Major League Baseball is in pinstripes and he hasn't touched the field. And our record is, I mean, what are we? We're 22-13. We're right on Baltimore's heels. We lost 3 of 4. There's no reason to be down about this Yankees team. I get it. It feels like, okay, well, we just went and played Detroit. We handled our business. But let's be clear.
Detroit's a good team.
Detroit was 18-13 coming into the series. Very good team. They're struggling in the same way we are. They're just not scoring. So we showed up and we're handling business. Detroit's pitched very well in their starting rotation and in that bullpen. So for us to go out and go win a series against Detroit, don't take it lightly, because the Yankees right now are handling business.
Yeah, and we talked about it, you know, last episode. Casey Mize was somebody that has pitched pretty decently and has kept the ball in the ballpark. And, you know, aside from that one home run by Rizzo, I thought he pitched pretty well, but there you go. That's what, you know, we were talking about, is he's kept the ball in the ballpark and it's led to his success. But what happens when you give up a 3-run jack? Most of the time you're going to lose those games. And so I thought that was key and critical to, you know, get on him early on. But tomorrow, you know, we have a 135 game like we talked about. Nestor Cortez has to keep the ball in the yard, and they're going to have to get to Tarik Skubal, because that guy is one of the best pitchers in baseball.
He's very good.
When he's healthy.
Very good. And I'm going to give him his credit. I've told everybody I don't believe in jinxes, but the last time, every single time I say that we're in for a beating, the New York Yankees are just going to smoke the starting pitcher, they go out there and they look like Sandy Koufax or Curt Schilling. So I'm going to go ahead and say the opposite. I'm going to go ahead and say we're showing up in this game and we've got to fight. Give me 4 or 5 runs. In my opinion, 4 or 5 should be plenty for Nestor Cortez to work with. If he can keep the ball in the yard and then do his job, in my opinion, his job is to go through 5. That's essentially what Nestor Cortez's job is. You saw it with Clark Schmidt, didn't have his stuff today, but he grinded, got us our 5. And it's enough with this bullpen. Like you said, Jake, our worst days are ahead of us when it comes to pitching. It's not going to continue this way. We are going to touch on Holmes. I just want to bring up what the hell is going on with Holmes as our closer. Are you kidding me?
Dude, it's the most underreported story, I think, regarding the Yankees. I think he's the most taken for granted closer. And I'm saying this as somebody that said that I got nervous every time he was on the mound earlier in this podcast's history. But, dude, I'm telling you, it is the Mariano Rivera effect. It is nothing you do will be good enough to appease this fan base. It's why people still to this day, Gary, on Twitter and so forth, even though Twitter doesn't exist, people still to this day will watch Clay Holmes, ignore his 0.000 ERA, and we'll just be like, oh, man, Clay better not blow it. And he gives up a hit. A hit. And people are like, oh, we're done. We're cooked. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. This guy's giving up zero. Like, exactly. His whip's under one.
He's thrown 16 and a third, okay? And let's be clear. It does not matter who you watch. I don't care which closer it is. I've said this maybe a few weeks ago. There is not one closer in Major League Baseball outside of probably Miller in Oakland where the at-bats are just straight up not competitive and they're not consistently. You've got to be sitting 103 miles an hour.
It's insane.
Have a slider and a straight changeup. That's what it is. Clay Holmes right now, his sinker is moving like a slider from a left-handed pitcher. That's the way it looks. It does not look real. It doesn't look realistic. It looks like something straight out of MLB The Show. And fortunately, when the Yankees can pace him, let's be clear, because we were really unhappy about this maybe a week or so ago, but Clay Holmes didn't come out for that second inning. And we eventually went out there in extra innings and lost the game with Michael Tonkin on the mound. We were all upset. Rightfully so. We didn't necessarily go to a good option. I wasn't upset about Holmes coming off the mound for the reason that they gave us, which was not to overuse that guy in Clay Holmes. But yeah, who we went to was a joke. But of course, when you tell me that you're protecting an asset and then that asset comes out a week later and he's throwing 98 to 100 and he's got his best stuff we've seen in pinstripes, yeah, I'm going to give Boone credit for protecting that asset because right now that is the strength of this team is our bullpen. And I didn't think that that necessarily would be any form of reality, but it is what we have to cover because that's what we're watching.
It's insane. He has an entire one war. So an entire win above replacement.
Seems
he's
good.
Giving. Yeah, exactly. So Heisley from St. Louis, Finnegan from Washington, Suarez from San Diego, Class A from Cleveland are the top five with Holmes. Holmes has a 0 ERA, 0.92 whip. The only one that I would say is even close, our guy Class A has a 0.55 ERA. You also have a 0.66 ERA from Robert Suarez. But Finnegan has a 2.03 and Heisley has a 1.50. What Clay Holmes is doing is he's basically made it so he is essentially Mariano Rivera back when he pitched. When Rivera came in the game was over. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If he came in with a lead, it was very rare he was going to blow a save. Right now, Clay Holmes, whether people want to admit it or not, has become that. He has been unbelievable. Now, will he keep this up is the question because he's had these moments before. But I would argue, Gary, this is the best he's ever looked. So for Yankee fans looking for not just to hear about how the offense can only score five runs and not just about how the pitching, the worst days of pitching is ahead of them. Take this to the mind. Clay Holmes right now is pitching better than he's ever pitched in New York. And that is a big reason why the Yankees have won 22 games. He's closed out half of them.
That seems good.
It is.
But also his ERA, and I don't want to just circle ERA as like this end-all, be-all number, but no. Which pitcher is it in Major League Baseball that's not considered dominant, that has ever pitched, whose ERA was under 3 as a closer 3 years in a row? Because his ERA with the Yankees in 2022 was 2.54. His ERA last year was 2.86. Clay Holmes was seen as a pitcher that is all over the place. Now, a lot of that could be usage. That's part of the reason why Boone probably said what he said, because you see two different versions of Clay Holmes. One version is his sinker's not moving, his velocity's down, and you can tell right out the gate, oh, we're getting one of those anxiety attack Clay Holmes performances, right? That's what it seems like. But then when you go watch Clay Holmes today, you'll see a sinker move from the other batter's box onto the corner inside to a righty, and you just think to yourself, I don't give a damn who's hitting. You could have Mookie Betts in there. Nothing's happening. And that's part of the intimidation factor of protecting the best arm we have right now. He's our best pitcher, period. And that's something that the Yankees can rely on, at least early here. But as it warms up, and I've mentioned this before, Clay Holmes is eventually going to give up some runs. It's going to get hot outside in June at Yankee Stadium. He's going to give up a homer or two. And then people are going to be talking about, oh, we need a reliever. We need a closer. No, the Yankees need to score. And part of being a team is guys picking each other up. Right now, Clay Holmes is picking us up. He's got a, I don't even want to say one war because I hate war.
Oh, I hate war too. But I mean, war that's still sucks. Impressive as a closer. It is,
yes. Yes, as a closer to be able to impact the analytics in that way is great.
Oh, but you want me to be petty real quick?
What?
All right, I'm going to be petty. So Yankees Twitter told me that we should trade Peraza, Oswaldo Cabrera, Heel, and who's the other prospect? I think it was Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, one of them. For David Bednar, he's got a 10.5 ERA right now. Like,
well, first of all, you never trade the house for a closer.
Unless it's Clase.
And if he's not throwing 102 and the ball is cutting for the last 4 years running, I don't want him.
No.
I'm sorry. There's a reason that guys in our chat, like, there's a reason that DV, like, Hasten, like, there's a reason that he says, hey, Miller, yeah, that dude right there, I want him in pinstripes. You just watch the damn TV. You can see why you want him in pinstripes. Don't tell me this dude is good, and then I turn on the game and he's throwing 96. No.
Well, imagine Mason Miller setting up Clay Holmes, and then you have him for the foreseeable future after Clay Holmes leaves as your closer.
Yeah, and like, of course, guys can be good throwing 96, but you don't trade for a reliever. You don't trade for a dude throwing 95 out the pen and send your top prospect for him. No, that guy has to be world class. Miller might be that. We don't know, right? We have no idea.
I feel like the Yankees, especially Yankees Twitter, like, not all Yankee fans fall into this trap, but the guy who's wearing a different uniform is always better. And Bednar is just another guy that I wouldn't be surprised if Bednar ends up on the Yankees and they offer hardly anything for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he falls off and the Yankees make him a reclamation project. But in no way am I about to give up Spencer Jones for a relief pitcher when you already have the best closer in baseball. And yeah, that's right, Mets fans. He's best in New York. I don't want to hear it.
Wait, as opposed to who?
Edwin Diaz. I mean, it's not even up for debate right now. Diaz
I don't think you can even prove to be. No, but I mean, regardless of numbers, I don't even think it matters. Edwin Diaz isn't pitching with any pressure. He's playing for a team who has zero chance whatsoever to run down the Atlanta Braves in the division. So he's closing games that, frankly, have no pressure at all. With all due respect,
he's been in 12 times. He has four saves. That's it.
You know, but he's a great pitcher. I'm not here to debate that.
He is. He's not better than Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes should have a huge, like, presentation before he comes out to the mound.
Right. But I mean, Clay Holmes,
they tried to say that was
the race.
Yeah. Well, remember when they tried to say, because I mean, you know how Mets fans are, they try to cling to anything that makes them relevant. They tried to say that his entrance, the Edwin Diaz entrance was better than Mariano Rivera's Enter Sandman. Like, come on now.
I mean, I honestly, I don't even know how to weigh in on it. I'll say this. I think Mariano could have honestly been rolled out in like a wheelbarrow and it wouldn't have mattered. Hey guys, we're bringing in 42.
Okay, game's over.
It's a wrap. And he's got one pitch, by the way. There's so yeah.
He's got a four seam, a two seam, and a cutter.
And he's gonna throw the cutter. He's hardly even gonna touch anything else. He's got one pitch. So yeah, I mean the Mets are the Clipper.
I love it, Stevie.
No, and that honestly might even be a stretch. We're selling the Clippers short.
Oh,
And I don't dislike the Mets, but let's be clear. When you're talking about comparisons between closers, between Diaz and Holmes, Holmes is closing games that he knows. The Yankees probably were projected to win like 92, 93 games. The Orioles are projected probably, 95, 96? So his saves
matter. Are saving the Yankees season. If he doesn't get those 11 saves, let's say he gets 5 of them, right? What does that mean? It means the Yankees right now are 16 and 19?
Yeah, and right? I wouldn't even say this is Diaz's fault. I mean, that's his job is to pitch well in the opportunities that he gets. Frankly, he's not in position the same way that Clay Holmes is. So I give the guy who's – and this is kind of like the MVP discussion is like, is this dude's numbers who's playing like Mike Trout? Mike Trout, for example, can hit 300 and hit 50 homers. And then some dude who hit 35 homers for Atlanta and led a pennant race. In my opinion, that player is more valuable. He wasn't playing in a 6-1 game at home that no one had on. Like, with all due respect, I love Mike Trout. But when you're playing in baseball games that aren't close or aren't competitive, they're not meaningful. I have a hard time giving you the edge over players who are in the mix. That's my opinion. Other people may disagree, but that's just where I'm sitting with it.
No, I feel that, man. I think kind of to wrap this thing up, I'm right now I'm satisfied with what we've seen from the Yankees. We can complain and we do it every single day because we have a podcast to record every day. We made that commitment. Obviously, I was moving and we missed a few days. But let's just be real here. We made a commitment to you guys, obviously, to cover this team to the best of our ability and cover it in a way that you can't find it anywhere else on this platform. And so in doing so, and that being our mission, this is a team that is 22-13 without the best pitcher in the league. This is a team that is 22-13 starting guys like Jose Trevino at catcher. They don't have a Real Muto. They don't have an Adley Rutschman. That's normally a position where, you know, the best teams in the league have star catchers. Like back when the Braves were, I mean, the Braves are still great, but back when the Braves were really, you know, they were great back in the day, they had, you know, McCann, you know. So you think about it, like the Yankees had Posada. So my feeling is that the Yankees are overachieving in a time where they easily could have folded by now. They very well, you know, could be a 19-18 win team right now. And they're 22-13. And they had a rough patch a few times. The Toronto series. And, of course, we would all say the Orioles series. Those were the two.
Well, Oakland, too. What did you do against Oakland?
Well, Oakland, they split a series that they should have swept. So, you know, I feel like they've weathered storms. They've also been battle tested. You know, I feel like this team has shown a lot and there's a lot to feel good about right now. And, you know, really, again, to wrap it up, Gary, I think that, you know, coming off that win, they have a chance tomorrow. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think they're going to win tomorrow. I think Skubal is going to be too much. He's undefeated for a reason. But if they do win tomorrow, that would be another sweep of a series. And they've already won the series. So in reality, they've won pretty much every series except for, two? I mean, that's wicked impressive. And I think, you know, Yankee fans have a lot of, you know, a lot of reasons to feel excited about the future because right now this is a team that, you know, their best is yet to come with the offense. And of course, I mentioned, you know, their worst is yet to come with the pitching because that's just there's going to be a regression. It has to happen. They can't be pitching like this the whole year. It's not sustainable. But if it goes down a little bit and the offense steps up, you find the happy medium, that's a 95 win ball club, you know, maybe 100 win ball club. So I feel really good about it. And we, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, This is a team that will be in October. Don't worry about it. They will make the playoffs. Obviously, if there's a catastrophic bunch of injuries where, God forbid, Soto, Judge, all of them go down, fine. That would be a little bit different. But
and that risk is available for every team. If Avery Rushman gets hurt, if Holiday comes up and
exactly hurt, it's baseball.
You know, you can make the hypotheticals all day long. Your best players get hurt, no one really's got a shot. Of course, Atlanta went and won a World Series without Acuna. But if we asked them when the injury happened, hey, how are the fans feeling? Everyone would have said, this shit's a wrap. We're not winning. But let's be clear. Aaron Judge, Soto, all these guys, Garrett Cole, we expect to have them on the field. And we've done nothing offensively. So what's to be hopeful about is that if we've done nothing offensively, and we can all agree, they've been wildly inconsistent. Well, what happens when Aaron Judge is even like remotely close to the version of Aaron Judge that we saw the last 5 years? What then? You can assume that Juan Soto is going to probably hover around 300. I said he's going to be a contender for the batting title. He's hit a little bit of a rough patch these last few days, but let's be clear. That 1-2 punch is a joke. A joke. And it feels fair right now because Aaron Judge is in one of the worst stretches of his career. He kind of peeked his head over the covers today, which is a great sign. Gets ejected, so maybe he's gonna have some life these next few weeks. It's gonna heat up. New York is gonna be smoldering in the next few weeks. So we love to see it, and I'm expecting runs. And by the way, I think the Yankees are gonna steal tomorrow's game. I'm telling you, I got a feeling.
I'm here for it. I don't love the way Cortez has pitched as of late. But if he keeps the ball in the ballpark, the Yankees have a shot. Of course, you got to score. And Scooble makes it really tough. 1.72 ERA, 4-0 for a reason. Like I mentioned, 41 strikeouts, only two home runs given up. So we did also say the same thing about Mize. Doesn't give up home runs. Gave up pretty much the clincher today. So we'll see. But that's going to do it for us, folks. We hope you guys enjoyed. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about hopefully another Yankee win against one of the best pitchers in the league. So that would be really nice. And then we'll get you ready for what's next after that. But again, really appreciate you guys. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment. Follow me at JK Bogan. Follow Gary at Gary Sheffield Jr. And follow the show at Yankees Unloaded. And like I said, we'll see you guys in the next one. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this live stream. And if you're watching this after the fact, of course, thank you for hanging out with us, I guess later on. But we appreciate you, and we'll see you guys soon.
And of course, don't forget to like the video.